next week with more books, writing, and literary culture. See you then.
Good morning. This is 2SER 107.3. You're tuned into The Vulture's Nest, a benevolent but boisterous backward glance at some of the news and culture of the week. Thanks to Andrew Popel for another stellar instalment of Final Draft. I am Sean Morahan, and joining me in the nest this morning are Peter Gleeson.
Good morning.
Welcome, Peter. And Justin Jones.
Hey, hey, man. How you doing?
Good. How's your week been, guys?
Yeah, pretty good.
Good. Tremendous.
Tremendous.
Right, Justin, and I might just make mention, I saw you on TV this week.
Yes, you did.
Yeah,
I was on a new ABC TV game show called Think Tank.
Yeah, and you won.
Yeah, well, I mean, spoiler alert. I did, well, put it this way, I surprised myself more than the audience. So.
No, I was pretty surprised as well.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things that surprised me as well was you went on there, and you did mention the fact that you've got five jobs, which we're aware of, but you only mentioned three of them on air, and you didn't mention the two that relate to comedy, where you and I and Peter are, you know, we're part of the same comedy community in Sydney.
Yeah.
So you're happy to be heard with us over the radio, but you don't want to be associated with us on TV, is that it?
It's not a personal thing, man. It's the producers. So as you're aware, because we're part of a small but close-knit community, there's actually quite a few comedians that have gone on. Well, there's been multiple comedians that have gone on.
There's been three.
And, yeah.
Three that we know of.
Yeah. Well, I know there's at least a fourth coming if the episode hasn't aired yet, because I know of four.
Okay.
And so the producers said they'd already had a bunch of people say that they were comedians or into comedy or comedy fans. So they said, look, if you've got other stuff to talk about other than comedy. Pardon?
Like Paul McDermott.
Pardon? Yeah, exactly.
The host?
Yeah. No, oh, it's weird, man. TV is interesting. I really enjoy doing it. But yeah, it's very different to what you would think.
Okay. Well, there's an alternative to TV. Do either of you have Netflix?
Yeah, man. Of course.
Wait, yeah.
Do you have any favourite show or movie that you've seen on Netflix?
Yeah. Have you heard of a show called Big Mouth?
No.
Okay, do you know of the comedians Nick Kroll and John Mulaney?
The names ring bells, yes.
Oh my God, watch this TV show. It's a cartoon created by those guys straight to Netflix, so no filter, about puberty, and it is absolutely amazing.
Okay. Pete, you got a favourite?
No.
No. Still looking for it.
Still looking.
Yeah, still browsing.
I watch a bit of everything.
Yeah. Look, I can't claim it's my favourite, but I did see a documentary a year or so ago on Netflix called King of Kong. It was about the competition for the world record score on the 1980s arcade game Donkey Kong. I wasn't so much interested in Donkey Kong as I was the fascinating competition and politics that went on in this documentary. Have either of you seen it?
Yes, this is the greatest documentary of all time. I didn't see it on Netflix. I saw it in the cinema when it came out.
Wow, and wasn't it good?
And a couple other times. It's been on ABC a couple times as well.
Yeah, see, I mean, it's ringing a bell. I think it might have been on in the background while I might have been doing something else. But, okay. Yeah.
Well, the antagonist in it was a guy called Billy Mitchell, who has an unforgettable mullet.
Oh, yeah? Okay, yeah. Well, no, I haven't seen it, because, man, I love mullets. Seriously, how good are mullets?
And a horrible Chuck Norris beard.
Oh, well, no one likes those.
Yeah, so that's such as his dedication to the 80s. The documentary's eventual winner was a guy called Billy Mitchell. His record was under siege from another player during the documentary, a guy called Steve Wiebe. And during Wiebe's multiple attempts, Mitchell kept demanding ever stricter conditions be put on Wiebe, including that he play in a public place where multiple people could watch over his shoulder and even talk to him while he played. It was announced today that Billy Mitchell cheated by not using the original machine when he scored his higher score. He used an emulator, which recreates the game, but notably, it can be manipulated to make the game easier to play. Have either of you ever played Donkey Kong?
Oh, yeah, of course, man. Grew up on Donkey Kong.
Yep.
Cool.
It's hard.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's a really hard game.
It's a brilliant game, but it really is quite hard.
Yeah, I think I lost a lot of money at Parkway Pizza on their Donkey Kong machine.
I don't think I've got past level 4. It's crazy difficult.
Yeah, I actually tried playing it recently because you know they bought those Super Nintendos out at Christmas time that just come preloaded with like 20 classics.
The little mini ones.
Yes.
Yeah, the mini ones. Well, yeah, my brother and nephew got one, and so on Christmas Day we were sitting there playing it, and I was trying to play Donkey Kong, and it was just like
it is hard.
Oh man, I was much better at this as a kid,
yes.
And that I didn't care how bad I was.
Yeah. So generally, would you say you're both gamers?
Yeah.
Nah, not really. Like, I mean, I've dabbled, but I'm not. I'm definitely not one of these people that takes gaming seriously.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I don't take it seriously, but yeah, I play a lot.
Yeah. Would you say when you say don't take it seriously, Pete? Would you say you're competitive at all in your gaming?
No, I don't play online games against other people because for me that defeats the purpose of video games. I play games so I don't have to interact with anyone else.
Right.
So the whole competition thing, playing online, that just defeats the whole purpose of why I play.
Right.
So I play so I can be by myself.
It's a bit of escapism.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Pete is a very social fellow, as you can tell. Very happy man.
No, well, we get him on to SER fairly regularly, so that works well.
Well, you've got to leave the house at some point.
Yeah, I was about to say. What, you managed to get him out of the house?
Yeah. So, in that documentary, do you remember how ferociously Billy Mitchell was portrayed as the villain?
Oh, yeah, but, yeah, he made it easy to be portrayed as the villain.
Yes.
He's just not a bad guy. First of all, he called himself Billy Mitchell. You're a grown man, Billy Mitchell. Call yourself Billy. If anyone's going to call himself a cute name, it should be Steve Wiebe, because Stevie Wiebe sounds great. But he doesn't, because he's an adult. He's an adult grown man playing video games, but still, he's an adult, and he's better than you, Billy Mitchell, you Chuck Norris looking... I hate him.
I think there is something weird about an adult man named Billy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? At what point does it go from being Billy to being Bill?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, there has to be a certain point. Because, yeah, like, did you know we had a Prime Minister that his name was Billy?
Billy McMahon.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
His son's like an actor. What's his name? Something else McMahon. Doesn't matter.
Julian.
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
But, like, how old was he when he was still being called? Like, Billy. I mean, that's the least sort of, you know, like, it's not a very powerful name. Where William
well,
is.
It's named after an Australian icon, you know, the Billy on the campfire. Not the Billy you're thinking of.
I was about to say, well, that's definitely an icon. It's a classic example of Aussie ingenuity.
Yeah. And that is probably an Australian thing, too. We do like to give people nicknames or, you know... diminutize some names and expand other names, so don't we?
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, you've changed your name to Juzzy.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not even so much of a change. It's more just I'm lazy and can't be bothered saying Justin most of the time.
Yeah.
Juzzy's just easier.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel like one of the boys.
So hello to any of our listeners out there named Billy who are currently thinking right back at you, Juzzy.
But but this guy is like, I mean, okay, so, but when I do comedy, I don't go on stage and be like, hey, man, it's Juzzy J. Like, when I'm on stage or when I come on here, you don't introduce me as Juzzy. You say, we have Justin Jones in the studio, and I go, hey, what's going on? Right? Yep. Whereas this guy, like, has got a whole movie made about him, and he still insisted on being called Billy. Like, yeah. I just thought that's my main gripe with this whole thing, is just there's an adult male rocking around.
Not that he cheated at a game. Not that at one point he sent some goons into Steve's house to mess with his machine.
I haven't seen the doco,
that's
right?
Because the way they got the... Because Billy was saying he wanted Steve to compete live, which he did do. But before then, they were able to just videotape it and send a VHS tape, because I suppose that's hard to mess with than if you do it digitally.
Yep.
But if you've got an emulator. So, yeah, basically, Steve had...
I just love how they were so committed to the 80s that they were like, yeah, you're allowed to record, but you've got to send it in on VHS, mate.
Yeah, because it's hard to edit it and cheat, I think. And, yeah, because it's 80s. Yeah, but, like one of the videos that Steve... sent in, you could hear in the background his 3-year-old son going, Dad, wipe my bottom. He's like, yeah, in a minute, because he's still trying to crush this game.
Oh.
And because he's got a machine at home, yeah, Billy sent a couple of goons around to his house.
Yeah.
Pretend to be salesman or something. It was either his mother or mother-in-law's home. And they basically broke into his house to mess with the motherboard on his machine.
Wow.
Like, the dude's psychotic.
Yeah,
these
guys
winning
are clearly
a video
taking
game
this...
competition where there's basically no money involved.
Well, and that's the interesting thing, right? There's no money involved. This is purely a leaderboard system, and
yeah,
let's just establish neither of these guys currently hold the record.
No,
right? They've both been beaten. This is just only about who was the first person ever
to score a million points. Yeah,
like, which is a nothing milestone.
It's
like,
not
I'm
like tampering
it out
with
there.
A cricket ball.
Yeah, but like, if this is the highlight of your life, if this is your peak. Give up. You know what I mean? Like, set the bar higher. You know what I mean? Like,
but I think that's a good point. For some people, this is the most important thing in their life. I've often thought about graffiti. You know, for some people who graffiti, you know, illegible things on bridges and things like that, for some of them, that's the greatest achievement they're going to achieve in their life, and you've got to respect that.
Do we have time to go down?
I'm lots of strange looks.
Yeah,
here
do we have time to go down on a rant about graffiti, mate? Because I'm just putting it out there. Yeah, we probably don't.
It might lead into our second story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, let's take a track. This is You Beauty with Anne Marie.
Sent me 'cause I had chuff in my pee. Caught your big green eyes, I couldn't believe someone so pretty staring back at me. Your baby voice joyous, me hear mushroom ear, but I can tell you want me. Now you're not going alone again, Anne-Marie. And now that I've found you, you're never going. Watch me play. Could you get ready? High up in the stands, in the VIP, I saw you like an angel. My heart skipped a beat. The jiggers had given some flowers to me. White flowers and ribbons next to the trophy. I told the water boy to bring them to you. I winked when he whispered, whispered from who? I mean it when I say I want you for good. These others mean nothing now that I've found you up there, Anne-Marie. And now that I've found you, you're never going alone again. At the function center out by the sea, ribbons in the colors of the team's jersey.
Digital Futures.
Stories from the digital age.
Today's technology transforming tomorrow.
Sundays on 2SCR 107.3.
Or you can catch the podcast. Subscribe to Think Digital Futures now on your podcast app of choice. Want to listen to 2SER wherever you are?
We're now just a touch away.
Download the new improved 2SER app from your favourite app store.
The 2SER app is available for Androids too.
And it's free.
The new improved 2SER app. Stories, ideas, music.
Wherever you are.
This is 2SER 107.3. You are listening to The Vulture's Nest. In the start of the show, we were talking about gaming, and we even got on to a little bit of graffiti there towards the end of that story. Along similar lines of perhaps marking your territory, putting a message on other people's property. Justin, your car is pretty important to you. How would you feel if someone repeatedly keyed your car?
Oh, I'd be livid. Okay. I would not be a happy person
at all.
Thank you
for not swearing on air too. I know that took a lot of restraint. Sort of lined you off a bit with that question. So also in the news this week, there was a woman named Jane Flanagan who's been fined $1,250 after pleading guilty to deliberately scratching a neighbour's Audi as she walked past his house in Sydney's Dover Heights. Flanagan, who reportedly is a town planner, has since asserted that the Audi was blocking the footpath and so was parked illegally. She was caught after the Audi owner installed a dash cam and caught her in the act. In the video, it does appear that she had plenty of room to walk past the car, although, Justin, you've got a good point to make on that later as well. What alternatives do you think she had if she was annoyed by the car being, you know, and apparently she walked past there every day, so it probably wasn't something that was just a one-off. There was probably some repeated frustration there with the situation. What alternatives do you think she had if she was annoyed about the placement of the car. Peter?
There's the old leave a passive-aggressive note on the windscreen and then also post that on social media.
Oh, was that you that left that note on my car?
Yeah, sorry. It's just too big and obnoxious.
Yep, no worries.
Well, you know, there's the whole other things you could leave on the car.
Yeah. Justin, would you do anything different?
Justin had an idea.
Or would you suggest anything different for other people?
My personal favourite, right, when you've got someone in your street and they're just constantly doing the wrong thing, like they're parking in the wrong spot or they're doing something which, you know, like there's... You can leave the note, but, I mean, the sort of person that does that has very little regard for the note, you know what I mean? Like, there's a risk they're going to get a parking ticket, but they don't care about that either, right? What I love to do is just leave a nice big Cleveland steamer just sitting straight in the middle of the bonnet. Now, for like anyone doesn't know what a Cleveland steamer is...
Let them Google it. We'll stop that one right there.
A Kanga.
That'll do. Have you ever had someone maliciously damage anything of yours?
Maliciously. Yeah.
Because I'm a delightful human being.
Yeah, I'm certainly not.
And I know about four people.
Yeah, well, sitting inside playing your games. So who is it? The pizza guy?
Yeah.
The guy at the other end of the internet. You don't even need the internet. Anyway. I don't think so. Not just straight out malicious damage to the...
Okay, you mentioned something on online, social media shaming earlier, Pete.
People always do that. What annoys me is people do it to a dog, or they put a sign on the dog's head like, oh, I ruined the couch. Like the dog can read and knows what's going on.
Okay, yeah.
I actually think they're adorable.
Oh, yeah, they're cute pictures, but it does nothing. The dog doesn't care.
Do you think maybe there are less incidences of cars getting keyed or other malicious damage being done because of social media that gives people an outlet that doesn't necessarily give them, you know, the opportunity to physically damage the other person?
I don't know. I think it's possible we see more stuff.
Yeah, I think that's it. I don't think too much has changed. I just think nowadays people have always got their phones and cameras out, and so we capture more of what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, we've got this avenue to sort of vent stuff out. But, I mean, the thing is, right, like, she didn't even bother going up and knocking on this guy's door and being like, hey, you're blocking the footpath. But, mind you, maybe she did. And, you know, didn't get a very nice reaction. And she just went, like, because you don't walk past a car once and go, I'm going to key that car. You know what I mean? Like, after days and days or weeks or months, like she said, it's in between where the bus stop is for her to go to work and her house. So she's doing it every single day. And
this car would probably be parked there every day. Because
100%, it's their house. Yeah,
his house. I was there every day.
And let's just be clear, it is completely illegal to park outside of the boundary line. Unless you're parked on the street, you know, correctly and legally. Like, you are not allowed to park on the footpath.
Normally, I'd challenge a guest who comes up with that sort of information, but you're a driving instructor, so I'm going to take your word for it.
That's it, mate. I got lessons this afternoon. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, no, 100%. You're not allowed to park on the driveway. The whole reason for the driveway is for emergency access. It's not even for your own car. It's for emergency access. It's so that way if an ambulance or if something like that has to get onto your property, there's a way for them to get onto your property.
Right. Is there a place for vigilante justice, do you think?
Dangerous question.
Dangerous. Depending on circumstances and things, I guess I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but I'm sure there would be.
Well, let's take it
when the proper channels aren't doing anything.
Yeah, let's take it back to school. Did you ever have anything happen at school where justice had to be meted out by students on other students because teachers... I mean, what's the alternative? Dobbing somebody in? And maybe teachers didn't get involved or didn't want to get involved? Did you ever see that at school?
I got stabbed in my school.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Was that vigilante justice? What did you do to incur that, Pete?
It wasn't me.
Okay.
But yeah, dude, I can't remember why. It was a long time ago. But the guy that did the stabbing was known to be a bit of a loose unit. He was crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it was more just a crazy guy doing a crazy thing than vigilante justice.
Yeah. Look, when I first saw this video, it clearly shows that there's enough room for the woman to walk past. So I wonder why she was quite angry. But Justin, you made a good point.
Can't remember it.
I think you said other days it may have been blocking it a bit more.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So in the dash cam video this time...
The owner of the dash cam chose which video to release.
But yeah, exactly, right? But, I mean, there's nothing... Okay, so there's nothing more annoying when you're walking down the footpath, and especially if it's wet or raining or something like that, right? And then someone's parked hard up against their gate. You can't even squeeze past between them and their gate, and you've got to go out onto the road. You know what I mean? You risk being hit by a car.
I would say nothing more annoying, but it's pretty annoying.
Yeah, no. But it is. It's pretty annoying. Because, like, I mean, when I walk my dogs and stuff around, like, I come across this stuff all the time. And it really is. It's frustrating. I imagine when people are doing it with kids and prams and stuff like that. You've got to remember, the footpath isn't really for able-bodied people. You can walk wherever you want. The footpath is for people who have wheels, right? Prams, wheelchairs, walking frames. That's really what it's for. Those people
need... So why isn't it called a wheel path?
Pardon?
Surely it's for walking on because it's a footpath.
But yeah, well, people with walking frames are still walking on it. You know what I mean? Like, mums are still walking on it. They're pushing a pram. The point being, if you're pushing something, right, if you've got something with wheels, you need concrete. If you're fine and able-bodied and you've got your legs, you can walk across grass. You don't care. You know, you can walk just about anywhere. I mean, I don't know what this woman's circumstances are, but it is. It's really annoying. I don't know if I'd go to, criminal damage, but
there's
I would
of
love...
I've been tempted to key a car. I've never done it.
Yeah, well,
if I was going to, by this point in my life, I would have.
Think about it, right? Right, you could key the person's car, or you could open the door to the police with a smile on your face when they went, "Did you defecate on that woman's bonnet?"
Sounds like the voice of experience there again.
Oh, mate, you only live once, all right?
What?
Okay. Footage from Channel 9 about the story where they do the obligatory camera chase showed Flanagan covering her face with a copy of the Australian. So the most surprising part of this story for me was that someone still buys the Australian. Do town planners need to plan better for places to park cars? Is this some sort of weird karma thing?
Oh, man, Sydney needed a town planner a long time ago. Like, and I don't think there's enough town planners in the world to fix what got started, hey?
Yeah.
And, so, like, can we just establish, right, Dover Heights is, like, its neighbours are, like, North Bondi, Vaucluse and Watson's Bay. It is literally the cliff face which looks out over to the ocean and then across back to the city. It is a beautiful, rich area that you don't even know about. Like, I drive Uber and I've had to drop some people up at Dover Heights, and I'll just be honest, I don't really care what happens to any of them. I think they're all fine and they're going to be able to sort themselves out. Like, the properties up there are worth millions and millions of dollars. Like, people are driving around in house deposits, you know what I mean?
Yep. Like key dowdies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The guy's not fussed about the keying happening to his car, no doubt. He's just worried that he's like, oh, I'm not paying that excess. I'm going to find out. I'm not paying that excess. You don't get rich by spending money, mate.
Okay, well, that as may be. We've got one more story that we're going to have a look at this morning in the Vulture's Nest as well. But before we do, this track we're going to take, it's Tempura Nights with Studville. You're on 2SER 107.3.
Newtown Record Fair is your monthly vinyl record fair in the heart of Newtown. On the first Saturday of every month, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m, Newtown Record Fair features over 10,000 vinyl records of all genres, live DJs, tasty cucina menu, and craft beer bar. your perfect vinyl record experience. Newtown Record Fair in the back beer garden of the Bank Hotel Newtown. NewtownRecordFair.com.au, a vinyl record partner of 2SER.
Think sustainability.
Practical actions for a better planet.
Movements, discoveries and technologies for a sustainable future.
Sundays on 2SER 107.3.
Or you can catch the podcast. Subscribe to Think Sustainability now on your podcast app of choice.
This is 2SER 107.3 and you are listening to The Vulture's Nest. We've had a couple of stories this morning. Pete, you've got another story for us that's jumped out at you from the news this week.
Yeah, covering all the big important topics this week. An engineer in Japan has built a giant 8.5 metre tall robot suit. Because why not? No, basically it's based on his favourite cartoon as a kid, Mobile Suit Gundam, which was, that was okay. But anyway, yeah, he's built this at a factory that basically builds farm machinery. So it was built a giant useless tractor. It weighs 7 tons, 8.5 meters tall, and it can shoot sponge balls out of one of its guns. At
so it's not useless at all then.
140 kilometers an hour.
Right.
But also, you can rent it. It's $900 an hour, but you can't take it out of the factory because it's too tall to fit through the door.
So you can't take it up to Dover Heights and use it on other people's cars parked across the driveways.
And even if you could, it moves at a whopping speed of 1 kilometre an hour.
Cool. So, Justin, do you remember your favourite cartoon? And would you spend a lifelong quest trying to recreate a massive model based on it?
Oh, man. I don't think I'd go to that effort. But I always loved the Power Rangers growing up. You guys remember the Power Rangers?
I do.
Yeah. So, like, that was cool. Like, the dinosaur... Not the dinosaur thing, the robot thing that they made was just absolutely amazing, like for a young boy. So I'd love to see it get made. That would be cool. I mean, Transformers too. The movies have brought that one step closer, but I can't wait till we actually can see real Transformers. That would be awesome.
Right. What about you, Pete?
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, with what's happened to this guy, like, the dream is always better than the reality. Like, he wanted to build a proper Gundam suit which can fly and they can do all this stuff, and basically he's built a giant thing that moves very slowly and doesn't do much.
8.5 meter tall harvester that shoots sponges.
So, like, an actual lightsaber from Star Wars, the idea is cool, but in reality, if you had one, you'd cut your own leg off
very quickly. Yes, yeah.
Like, it would not last long. It wouldn't be as practical.
It does sound like a healthy obsession, though. He does sound like the sort of guy who probably doesn't get annoyed by people parking cars, whether they do or not. He probably walks past them. He's in a daze. All he's focused on is getting home and
continue working on his giant robot.
He's got his head down. He's thinking about his robot. And then you know what happens? He goes and knocks into someone's parked car because they're parked illegally across the footpath. And what he does is he goes and he builds an 8.5 meter tall car crusher. Yep. And just comes back and just stomps it into the ground.
And here I was, I mistakenly thinking that we had actually found a solution during this episode of The Vulture's Nest. But Justin, you bring us back to reality, crashing back to reality.
You know what my favourite part of this is, right? He's got a cannon which shoots sponges 140 kilometres an hour.
Yeah.
How fast do you have to shoot a sponge for it to break a kid's shoulder is all I'm wondering. Like, at 140, how much damage is a sponge doing? Because I imagine it's probably a bit.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave that question unanswered as the clock ticks down on The Vulture's Nest again this week. You've been in The Vulture's Nest today with Peter Gleeson. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Justin Jones.
Thank you for having me, mate.
And me, Sean Morahan. If you already support 2SER, please accept our thanks. If you're relatively new to the 2SER listening community, you can become a supporter today at 2ser.com/donate. Coming up, the best of arts, theatre, music, pop culture and all things creative in So Hot Right Now with Sophie Lai right here on 2SER 107.3. As Sophie dons her oven mitts to keep a good hold of the hot content she has for you today, let's keep your ears at a pleasant simmer as we take a little bit of Trapdoor by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Best band name ever.
Thank you. home.